Morning, everyone. Today's daf Chav Zayin in Shabbos. We're starting on the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We're starting at a good point, meaning that really we are discussing one topic today. It's going to be a topic of Tumah Tahara. So we are here simply because the Gemara starts off the whole discussion with things that come off a tree. The reason why we discuss things that come off a tree is because on the topic of lighting your Shabbos licht, so it says that any oil that comes off a tree is just simply unacceptable oil. And then the Gemara says, okay, so once we've had this discussion about things that come off a tree, so the Gemara is going to discuss it in a totally different context. Now, when I say totally different context, I mean nothing to do now with Shabbos and lighting. It has now to do with Tumas Begadim, and specifically Tumas Saraf. We know that Saras can affect one of three things. It can affect the person himself, meaning that the person himself can be subject to Saras, so he'll get a Saras discoloration on him, white color on the human body. That's a simplification. There's a lot of details to that. And then your clothing can be subject to Saras. And then your house can be subject to Saras, so you can own a home, and you can actually find a negative Saras on the house itself. Now, with all this in mind, today we're only going to be talking about one thing and one thing only, and that's Saras Nigei Begadim, the Negaim that come on your clothing. Now, the Torah says clothing, but the Torah also specifies what type of clothing. The Torah says you can open up Parshas Tazriat, Parshas Mitzora, and you're going to find that the Torah speaks about clothing made up of wool and linen. And so the question that we're going to be discussing is a very simple one. Any other clothing, meaning most of our clothing, well, we all wear wool. All right, our suits are made out of wool. Linen, occasionally. But is there any other clothing that's going to be subject to the Tumah of Tzaras? That's the Gemara's question, and that will be the discussion. And it really will take us from here until the end of today's daf. Now, we're behind. Today's daf is daf Chav Zayin. We're starting at the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. So two things. First of all, it's a short daf. Secondly, as you will see, it's really all just one long run-on sentence. Okay. It is going to be a little bit complex, the Gemara upcoming. I'm warning you right now. So I will try to be clear. But really, there will be a couple of points where we're all going to look at each other and say, where are we? Okay, but first of all, let's start off. Where are we? So we're on the bottom of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the bottom, Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, kol hayotzei min ha'etz ein bo mishum shalosh al shalosh, u'misachchin bo chutz mipishtan. Anything that comes off a tree. Okay, so anything that comes off a tree, any derivative of a tree, we could be talking about, we'll talk about this later on this morning, but like cotton, for example, cotton comes off a tree. Now I know cotton is not really a tree, meaning cotton is more of a plant than it is a tree. Okay, so cotton might not be the best example, but and I'll show you Rashi later on this morning. But anyway, anything that comes off a tree, so, is not subject to shalosh shalosh. Now, Let's get our numbers straight. We're going to be throwing around these terms a lot this morning, and so just so that we all know. Shalosh HaShalosh. I'll teach you a little bit of grammar today. In fact, I'll teach you all the grammar I probably know. The Shalosh HaShalosh in Hebrew, now normally in Hebrew is such a nice and organized language, and really the rules of masculine versus feminine are very simple and very straightforward. However, masculine, feminine, you English speakers out here in the room, so you don't understand that, meaning because you don't understand how words are masculine or feminine, because in the English language, we just don't. But those of you who speak pretty much any other language, not that I speak a lot of them, but you know that everything is categorized into either masculine or feminine, okay? When I speak Spanish, I get to show off my ignorance because I don't know well enough what's masculine, what's feminine, so I end up, giving it the wrong gender. But anyway, in Hebrew, everything is pretty straightforward. Usually, words that end with a kamatz hey, that's feminine. Words that end with a tough, that's feminine. Everything else is masculine. Okay, that's the short order of how these things work in Lashon HaKodesh. Numbers is the exception. By numbers, shalosh is feminine, shlosha is masculine. Okay, why? So ask somebody who knows. Okay, that's your basics. So here, whenever we're going to see the word shalosh al shalosh, so that means three by three etzbaos. Okay. And you know that because etzbaos are feminine, your fingers are feminine. So etzbaot, not etzbaim. So the word shalosh is feminine. So therefore, whenever you see the word shalosh, shalosh, it means 3 by 3 fingers, which I'm just going to say from this point forward, 3 by 3 inches. Okay, I'm off by a little bit, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so that's gimel, atz, gimel, gimel, or shalosh, shalosh. The other term which you're going to see a lot today is shlosha al shlosha. Now that's masculine. So that's not talking about a tzvach, it's talking about tefachim. A tefach is masculine, so tefachim, you see that in the plural, not tefachot. So so when you say shlosha al shlosha, we're talking about tefachim. So that's 3 by 3 tefachim. A tefach is approximately 4 inches, so we'll say it's about a foot. A foot by a foot. Okay? So now basically you have now two different sizes of garments. A garment that's a swatch of 3 by 3 inches, gimel, etzbaos, and you have a garment that's a swatch of 3 by 3 tefachim, which is about a foot by a foot. Now, hard to envision that you and I are going to be wearing either a garment, meaning that's a very small swatch either way. But obviously, though, once you have a swatch big enough, so you can make some use out of it. If it's gimel tefachim or shlosha shlosha tefachim, everybody could use it. Meaning there's no question that there's anyone who needs a patch and will have a swatch of material fabric that's gimel tefachim, so everybody could use it. That's a foot by a foot. Okay. If it's gimel etzbaos, so it's reduced, it's limited. Meaning who's going to use it? Somebody who's wealthy is going to use it? No. So in other words, really it's just limited to somebody who is very poor, who really needs to save and scrimp and basically collect anything that he could collect. So when he has a swatch of gimel etzbaos, so for him, the ani, that will be considered a garment. Basically, what you're supposed to walk away with from this discussion is basically, if it's gimel tefachim, unilaterally, that is a garment. That's a beged. If it's gimel etzbaos, it's kind of a beged. Not the best, and certainly not used by most people. Okay. I say all that by way of introduction. Let's go. Let's see this again. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Kol Yosem, and Eitzem, Bar Mishum, Gimel, Gimel. So anything that comes off a tree is not subject to Gimel, Gimel. Meaning, it's not going to be susceptible to Tumah. And on top of that, you could use it for your Schach. Now we know the halachas of Schach are very simple. It has to be something that grows out of the ground, and it has to be something which is not Mekabel Tumah. Good. So, right, I know a lot of us use the mats. So this year I made the shift. I converted from mats. I use the big fronds this year. Good. In other words, it grows from the ground and it's not makabel tumah, and it's good because it doesn't blow in the wind. It's bad because it dries really quickly and it shrinks really quickly. But anyway, so chutz mi pishta. Now all this is true except for linen, meaning linen you cannot use for schach, and linen is susceptible to tumah. Okay. Now, so what we have gotten from this, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, is the following. That, basically now, when we are looking at Tumas Negaim, which garments are susceptible to Tumas Negaim? Really only wool and linen, and that's it. And no other garments. Okay? So if you have a garment made out of cotton, and you see a nega spot on it, it's not susceptible to Tumah. Because it only is one linen. Now, I know what he says is called a yotze min ha'etz, anything that comes out of a tree, but really what he means by that is anything. The only reason why he said tree is because we're talking schach also, so that's why he wanted to get the tree in there, but really it's talking about any garment made out of any other material. I'm a Rava, and Rava says what I just said in terms of what I'm a Rabbi. Sorry, I jumped ahead. I'm a Rabbi, what I just said in Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So Abai says it's exactly the correct way to understand Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. I'm Rabbi, we're on the top now. Chavav Amid Beis, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, V'tan Deber, Rabbi Shmuel Amur Davar Echad. I can line up two tonight, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel. And by the way, you could do this on your spare time. Abai does this frequently throughout Shas, meaning that Abai is the one who enjoys lining up various Tanaim and seeing the consistency within various Tanaim. So look. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had Amaron. We already went over what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught us, and Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel, and now we have a brisa of Rabbi Shmuel. And really, just get this down well, because for the remainder of today, we're going to keep going back to this Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel. Ma'id the Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel. Hav an emra begadim betara stam. Because look, begadim, many areas in Torah, the Torah describes begadim, a beged. We talk about it in terms of shatnez, we talk about it in terms of tissus, we talk about it in terms of kalayim, of negayim. In other words, there are many different areas in Torah where we talk about beged. And once in the Torah tells us, when we say beged, what do I mean? Tsemer upishtim. Malahalan tsemer upishtim. Av kol tsemer upishtim. So just like over there by the world of Negaim, it's tsemer upishtim, so to any other reference to the word beged, and the Torah doesn't specify what material it's made out of, it's limited to tsemer upishtim, wool and linen. That is the position of Tan d'Beis Rav Yishmael. So what you get out of Tan d'Beis Rav Yishmael is basically now the following. That beged in the Torah, even though that generally means all clothing, but if the Torah doesn't specify what kind of clothing it is, it's only talking about wool and linen. Meaning, of course, you can make garments out of whatever material you want, it just simply won't be susceptible to tumah and or any other halacha that's brought about, that's talked about in the Torah in reference to a beged. It's limited only to wool and linen. What did we just do over here? The classic klal uprat. Meaning, the Torah speaks in generalities, beged, and then the Torah gives a specific example. Samru pishtim, ein bechlal ela mashe beprat. Basically, now what you have is that the details are now defining the generality. This is a basic rule of klal uprat. And by the way, it's perfect because this is Rabbi Shmuel talking, and Rabbi Shmuel was the one who gave us klal uprat. Right, as we know, as we say every day in the beginning of davening. So, what Abaye's point is that this Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel is exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar on the previous page was saying. They're saying the same thing. Amru Davar Echad. So Amar Rava, we're continuing the Gemara. Rava Amar Shlosha Shlosha B'Shar B'Gan Mika Benayu. Rava says, no, there is a difference, a fine distinction between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel. And the difference is as follows. Look, if it's a really small garment, meaning Gimel Tzba'os, so you're right. Wool and linen are the only two garments that are susceptible to tumah. But if it's a bigger size, if it's a larger size swatch of garment, meaning it's shlosha al shlosha tfachim, so now they don't agree. These two tanaim, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel, do not agree. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar islay latan de beir Yishmael leislay, because according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, once you have a swatch of 3x3 tfachim, meaning a swatch of garment that's a foot by a foot, so that is susceptible to tumah, and not if it's just wool, linen, and any other garment. Masha Enkin, according to Rabbi Shmuel, no, only wool and linen, no other garment is susceptible to tumah, regardless of how big it is. Okay? So essentially now, Rava finds a difference between these two tanaim, Tan d'Beis Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now the Gemara takes one step backwards. So first of all, let's get our facts down on the ground. We start off with an assumption that when you have a swatch of fabric made up of either wool or linen, and it's gimel al gimel. Remember, gimel al gimel shalosh shalosh means 3x3 inches. So it's metame benagayim. So it's susceptible to tumas negayim minalan. Detailing. So the Gemara first quotes a brisa. Get our facts down on the ground. How do we know this? So beged en li ela beged. Because look, when the Torah describes tumas sara'as on your garment, the Torah says board beged. Now beged usually means a full garment, meaning a coat, a shirt. It's got to be a full garment. How do I know that even if it's just a swatch of garment? So the Gemara says, shalosh hashalosh minayin, tam lamer v'ha beged. So we have the additional hay. The hay over here comes to include, and the v'ha beged comes to tell me that even if it's just a piece of garment, it's susceptible to tumah. V'emel rabo shalosh hashalosh. So the Gemara says, well, okay, I hear that, but how do I know that even if it's 3x3 inches, Maybe what the Torah is coming to include is only a garment that's a swatch that's a foot by a foot. Now, if you think about it, look, we're coming to include something, but we don't want to be that aggressive in terms of what we're coming to include. So if the Torah says the words veha beged, and it's coming to include a swatch, why don't we be a little bit more conservative and just simply say it's coming to include only a swatch that's a foot by a foot, not 3x3 inches. So the Gemara says, Shlosha, Shlosha, Lav, Kavachomer, Hu. Hashash, Shasi, Ve'er, Mitame, Shlosha, Shlosha, Mibaye. Well, the Gemara says, look, a swatch of garment that's 3 by 3 tefachim, a foot by a foot, we would have figured that out using a kal v'chomer. And the kal v'chomer basically works like this. When it comes to wool and linen, even if I have wool and linen on the weave, okay, on the loom, okay, and what the Gemara describes as shesi ve'erev, okay, how many times in my life have I worked the loom? That's correct. None. Zero. But you understand though, on the loom, you have vertical and you have horizontal. The vertical, the ones going up and down, so that's referred to in the Torah shesi. The ones going across horizontally, that's called the Erev. And in general, look, all I know, I just know to say this because, you know, you go through Gemara enough times, you just know this. The Shesi is thinner than the Erev. The Erev is thick, the Shesi is thin. Okay? I just know that because I've been around, you know, for a long time. Been there, done that. But anyway, the point is like as follows. When the Torah describes Tsaras on your clothing, the Torah says, you know what's susceptible to Tsaras? Even the fabrics on the loom. Not the fabric, sorry. Even the strings on the loom is susceptible to Tumah. So the Gemara says, now let's think about it. If strings on the loom are susceptible to Tumah, don't you think a swatch of fabric is going to be susceptible to Tumah? That's the Kal V'Chomer. So once I have a Kal V'Chomer, I don't need a Drasha. The Gemara says, that's a great Kal V'Chomer. In fact, that's so great. Well, why don't we just take it one step further? So the Gemara says, great. So threads on the loom are susceptible to Tumah Saras. So shouldn't a little piece of fabric of 3 by 3 inches? So Elosh Shlosha Shlosha Dechazin Bein Lashir Bein Laniim Asa Bekavachomer Shlosha Shlosha Laniim Hu Dechazin Lashir Lo Chazin Lo Asa Bekavachomer. The Gemara says no, and I'll tell you why based on what I explained a little bit earlier this morning. Because when you have a fabric that's 3 by 3 tefachim, a foot by a foot, that's a swatch that's usable by anybody. That has utility for everybody. Therefore, it's basically a piece of garment. A useful piece of garment, and so now I'll make my kal v'chomer. If thread on the loom is susceptible to tumas negayim, so too is a swatch of fabric that can be used by anybody. But if it's a swatch that's gimel etzba'o, 3 by 3 inches, not most people aren't going to use it. The poor are going to use it, so for them it there is utility, but it's not objectively useful. So therefore, I can't use my kal v'chomer to include that. So since I can't use my kal v'chomer, now I'm going to have to use a drasha. V'ha begin. Time of the k'siv akra, halo k'siv akra, lo garmin b'kal v'chomer, v'ema l'rabo shlosha al shlosha b'shar b'gadim. Now, we have the word v'ha begin, and it's coming to include something. So what do we suggest it's coming to include? A swatch of either wool or linen garment that's 3 by 3 tefachim. The Gemara wonders, well, once we're in the business of including something, why don't we include swatches of fabric that are not made up of wool and linen, but are made up rather of another garment? Amar ka, beget semer upishtim, in midach rinalo. Well, that's why the Torah spells out in Parshas Tazria that no, this is only limited to semer upishtim, wool and linen, and to no other fabric. The ema, good. So in other words, basically where we're at right now is that we know if you have a wool suit, subject to Tumas Saras. If you have a wool or linen on the loom, subject to Tumas Saras. Now we're basically somewhere in between. Meaning, what if it's a swatch of garment? So if it's gimel al gimel tfachim, which is used by everybody, so we're going to include that as well. How do we know that? Kal v'chomer. What if it's gimel al gimel etzba'os? We can't use a kal v'chomer, because it can't be used by everybody. So essentially now, what do we have? We have a drasha. Veha beged. The Torah could have just simply said the beged or beged. Veha beged is coming to include a swatch that is gimel al gimel etzbos. Okay. Next step of the Gemara. Ve'ema. Ki imat mishol shashol shaval shol shashol shal mitame. So mitame. The Gemara says, okay, maybe you could suggest the following. That if it's gimel al gimel, if it's 3 by 3 tefachim, so that which is, as we explained, doesn't have utility for everybody, so no. In other words, that we won't include other garments to. But gimel, but shlosha al shlosha tefachim, maybe that would be for which can be used by everybody. Maybe all garments are susceptible to that tumah. The Gemara says no. Tremiute ksive, no, because the Torah twice excluded beged semer o bi beged pishtim chalamutim shalosha shalosh vechalamutim shlosha al shlosha. So one is coming to exclude shalosha shalosh, and the other is coming to exclude shlosha al shlosha. Simply put, all other fabrics made of any other material outside of one linen is not subject to tumas negayim, regardless of size. It could be 3 by 3 inches. It could be a foot by a foot. It doesn't matter. The Torah twice tells us that it's only woolen linen to the exclusion of everything else. Okay. Adkan. Meaning that now those are facts on the ground. So in other words, based on a kavachomer, a drasha, and 2 miyutim, we have now arrived at the conclusion that when we talk about tumas negayim, the only garments that are susceptible to tumah are wool and linen. Any other garment is not susceptible to tumas negayim, which practically means that if I have, and I'm wearing a cotton shirt, if I find nega on the shirt, saras on the shirt will not be tumah, because tumas begadim only is on a garment made out of wool and linen. And even if I have a even if it's a full shirt, even if it's just a swatch, it doesn't matter. It only is garments made out of woolen linen, and it's based on the fact that the Torah basically says only woolen linen, and it says it twice. Good. Now, Ule Rava, all this is so far so good, and this basically now helps us understand Abaye, because Abaye says that if you have any other material, it's not susceptible to tumas negayim, and that's not only the opinion of Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael, it's also the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That's all Abaye. Now let's go back to Rava. Do you remember Rava said, no, there's a fine difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael. Ula Rava damer shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim ika b'nai ula rashba yisla Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael leithlei shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim minale. According to Rava, he has one Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, telling us that Tumas Begadim applies even to non-woolen linen garments. How does he know it? Now, it has to be a larger piece. It has to be a foot by a foot. But where does that come from? So now we're on the top of Chav Zayin Amar Aleph. Nafka mi O Beged. So we learn it out through a ribui of O Beged. Now, this gets a little bit confusing. Why? Because the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here of O Beged is not by Negayim. It's not in Parshas Tazria. It's one parsha earlier. Obeged is by shratzim. Now by sheretz we know is an avatumah. In other words, if you have one of the 8 shratzim, dead, carcass of one of the 8 shratzim, and it makes contact with a garment, so the garment becomes tameh. Now the Torah, when describing it, says obeged. Obeged, the additional letters of aleph vav, are inclusionary. It's coming to include something. I'm sorry, oh, beged, detanya. Beged, enli ala beged, shlosha, oh, shlosha. Bishar begadim inayin tamalamar, oh, beged. So we have the oh, beged. The oh, beged is coming to tell me that all other garments are susceptible to by tuma. Granted, it's not tumas negayim, but still the point is still the same point. If other garments are susceptible to tumas shratzim, other garments are also going to be susceptible to tumas negayim as well. Good. That is Rava's deduction. The Abaye. Now, on that, what's Abai's counter argument? Hi, Obeg, and my Avi, lay me by lay le rabo shalosh shosh, but samu pishtim, dimitame bishratzim. Abai says, no, I'm telling you that we're only sticking to woolen linen. The only garments that are susceptible to tumah are going to be woolen linen. Even in the sheretz category of tumah, it's only going to be woolen linen. What's the O coming to include? The O is coming to include, shalosh shosh. Meaning even if it's the smallest swatch of wool or linen, it's only 3 by 3 inches, it's still going to be subject to tumas shratzim. Now, Virava, now what's Rava's counter-argument to Abaye? Galer Rechmana, Gabi Negayim, V'wadin L'shratzim. Rava says to Abaye, you didn't need to do that. Meaning we've already established that in the world of Negayim, one parsha later in Tazria, we've already established that the smallest swatch is susceptible to tuma, even if it's 3 by 3 inches, wool and linen, of course, nothing else. But now I know that, so now I'm going to go back to Parsha Shmini, and I'll tell you the same thing. That in the world of tuma shratzim, even if it's a swatch that's only 3 by 3 inches, it's susceptible to tuma sheretz. Why would I have thought otherwise? Ve'abaye iklamefrach. Abaye says, well, you can't do that. You can't make that jump. The jump from Parshas Tazria back to Parsha Shmini, that jump halachically you cannot do. Why? Well, because by Negayim, as we already talked about earlier, it's susceptible to Tumah, even threads on the loom. And you don't have that halacha by Shratzim, the Irach. Now, what? That's good. That's a Abaye's argument. What's Rava's counter argument? Well, if you're right, and Nega is more Chamor, so why didn't the Torah do this? Why didn't the Torah write all these halachas by Sheretz, and we could have just simply deduced? Well, if Sheretz is susceptible to Tama, and I'm sorry, small swatches of wool and linen fabric is susceptible to, by Tumas Sheretz, well, small swatches of wool and linen are going to be susceptible by Tumas Nega. Why didn't the Torah just simply do that? The Edach, and Abai will tell you, I'll explain to you why the Torah didn't do that. Well, that's very simple. Because you think that Nega is just simply more Chumra than Sheretz. It's somewhat true, but not unilaterally. We have a halach in Sheretz, which is that even if I have a piece of Sheretz, a small tiny piece of Sheretz, the size of an Adasha, it will still give off Tuma. And you don't have that halacha by Nega, so how you can't just simply say, well, Nega is more chamer than Sheretz. That's not true, as demonstrated by the halacha of Adasha. Okay, that is the back and forth, the havayos of Abai and Rava, the back and forth between Abai and Rava. And so basically now let's take stock, because this is a point now in the Gemara where it's legitimate to ask, where are we? Not on the Gemara, I'm sure everyone's following, but just where does everyone lie in terms of their opinion? So, just to summarize, according to Abaye, basically now Abaye is the easiest to understand and remember, because he's fundamental, right? The fundamentalists are easy. They sometimes take extreme positions, but they're easy. Abaye is of the opinion that in terms of Tumas Baged, only wool and linen, nothing else. And that's the opinion of Tana Debe Rav Yishmael. That's the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Only the fabrics of wool made out of wool and linen are susceptible to Tumah. And that's true both by Tumas Negayim, and that's true also by Tumas Shratzim as well. That's Abaye's opinion. Good. Then we move to Rava, and Rava now speaks in nuance. According to Rava, if I have wool and linen susceptible to Tumas Negayim, regardless of size, even if it's a small swatch of just simply gimel tzbos, 3 by 3 inches, it's susceptible to tumas negayim. But once it's a larger swatch, once it's gimel tfachim, 3 by 3 tfachim, which is approximately 1 foot by 1 foot, so according to Rava, it's susceptible to tuma, even garments made not of wool and linen, even other garments as well. Now, even according to Rava, That point that I just made is not agreed to by everybody. That's a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel, but at least that's how he understands Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, good. That's where we're at right now. The Gemara did a little back and forth between Abai and Rava in terms of how each one is going to explain the drashas, but that's basically now where we're at in the Gemara. Well, just wait. The answer is always yes, but Amar Abaye, Haitan de Be Rav Yishmael, Mapik Meidach Tan de Be Rav Yishmael. Now, even though I just described Abaye as being a fundamentalist, in this regard he is, even though that's true, but now Abaye himself notes, I can show you a discrepancy between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel. The Tan de Be Rav Yishmael, because now we're going to learn a second brace of Rabbi Shmuel. So we have one that we need to remember, which is on the top of the previous Amud, on Chavav Amud Beis, and now our second Rabbi Shmuel of the morning. Tan de Be Rav Yishmael, Beged Ein Li Ela Beged, Semer Upishim, Minan LeRabbah, Semer Gemalim, Semer Anavim, Notzer Shel Izim, VaHashirayim, VaHaKlach, VaHasrikin. How do I know that Nega applies to other garments as well? Camel hair, rabbit hair, goat hair, silk, and other things. Talmud Lomar, O Beged. So we learn it out from the O Beged, meaning the O Beged that was mentioned by Shratzim is coming to include other garments as well. Fabrics made out of other materials. So now, Abai is just simply observing. I had one Tana de Beir Rav Yishmael Chavav Amud Beis that says that Tumas Negayim, and for that matter, Tumas Shratzim, is only limited to wool and linen, and nothing else. Here, on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, it's a different Tana de Beir Rav Yishmael. And Abai just simply saying, look, there's just not agreement between these two braisos, and one of those times in Shas where, what are we going to say? This is where, you know, it's hard to resolve the two. Okay, and this is Abai's point. So, Obeg Rava Amar Ki Leisa Lach Tana Debe Rav Yishmael B'Shar B'Gadim Shalosh HaShalosh Shlosha al Shlosha Islay. Now, what Rav is going to try to do is he's going to try to make some agreement between the two brisos. Meaning Abai just simply looks at the two brisos side to side, side by side and says, sorry, nothing we can do about it. Rav is going to try to make some agreement. Now, when this Tana Debei Rav Yishmael says that other garments are not susceptible to Tumah, that's only if it's a really small swatch of Gimel al Gimel, 3x3 etzbaos, 3x3 inches. But Shlosha al Shlosha Islay. But if it's a larger swatch of a foot by foot, so then even other garments are susceptible to Tumah. So the Gemara says, look, that's very nice. But do you remember Rava from earlier this morning? Meaning Rava opened up our discussion this morning by saying that according to Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, meaning of the previous Amud, it's only wool and linen to the exclusion of all other garments, regardless of its size. So in other words, what Rav is suggesting over here is going against what Rav suggested earlier this morning. Ha Debei Rava Me'ahi. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav changed his mind. Right, they could do that. Meaning, after reviewing all the pieces of information, and after going over the second brisa of Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, so Rava says, you know what? I retract, I recant what I suggested earlier in the correct understanding of the original Tana Debei Rav Yishmael is not correct, and therefore I'm going to retract my position. Ibayisema ha Rav Papa Amra. Or maybe what you can do is we can do a different assignment, meaning that the original understanding of Tana Debei Rav Yishmael was not Rava, but rather it was Rav Papa. Rav Papa Amar Av Kol La'asuye Kalayim. So the Gemara says, and Rav Papa said, do you know what the original Tana Debei Rav Yishmael was telling us? Wool and linen. You know what the Torah is teaching us? Wool and linen are also the two materials that make up the Isser of Kalayim. The Gemara says, what? What? Wait, hold on a second. I need a drasha to tell me, that the Issur of Kalayim is by wool and linen? The Gemara says, what are we doing? Kalayim behedjik siv bay. Lo sabah shatnez, tsemer upishtim yachtav. It says in Pashas Kiseitse that you're not allowed to wear wool and linen together. So, I mean, really now, it's convoluted as possible. Meaning, I'm looking at a drasha to tell me that Kalayim applies to wool and linen? I don't need a drasha. I have a pasuk. So sakadach amina hani mila derech levisha vaba halak kol trei mine aser. Well, the Gemara says, well, maybe it works like this. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that you can't wear wool and linen, but that's wool and linen formed into a garment. How about a wool and linen blanket that I put over myself for warmth? Maybe there I might have thought that the issur is for any two different materials woven together. The Gemara says, can't be. V'lav kavachomer hu malavisha de kamishani kol egufei mekalayim. Amar tzemru pishin in midach min alo. Halala kol shekein. The Gemara says, that's just simply impossible. Meaning, if making a garment which warms your entire body, if that's only limited to wool and linen, so if I'm just making a blanket where my whole body doesn't get warmed, but only parts of my body get warmed, so for sure it's only going to apply to wool and linen. So the Gemara concludes by saying, Ela de Rav Papa bedusehi. Rav Papa is a joke. Meaning, it's not to be taken literally, it's not to be taken seriously. Either it's bedusa or the Gemara elsewhere says it's barusa. Meaning, leave it outside. It doesn't belong in this discussion. Okay, meaning, our attempt at Rav Papa is just simply a failed attempt. And we move on in the Gemara. Okay? So again now, I told you, it's a complicated daf. It's really intricate. So now, where are we? Let's just take a moment to take stock of where we're at. So again, Abaye hasn't moved. Abaye has not budged one point on the needle. Meaning Abaye is, in this halacha, really fundamentalist. Wool and linen are the only two garments that are susceptible to Tumas Negayim. Any other garment made of any other material, of any size, it doesn't really matter, is not subject to Tumas Negayim. And that's his understanding of Tana Debei Rav Yishmael. That's his understanding of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He notes that there is another brisa out there that says that other garments, other materials are subject to Tumas Negayim. And Abai just simply looks at that brisa and says, inconsistent. What else am I supposed to say? That brisa is just simply inconsistent. But the way Abai understands it is that only wool and linen are susceptible to Tumas Negayim. That is Abai. Rava now has moved a little bit on the needle in terms of what his position is. Originally, he thought that this was a debate between Rav Shimon Lazar and Tana Deberev Rav Yishmael. And now what he's come to conclude is no. That even according to Rabbi Yishmael, all garments are susceptible to Tumas Negayim. You just simply needs to be a larger size garment. How large a size garment are we talking about? It's got to be a foot by a foot. But if you have a garment that's 3x3 etzbaos, so then that's only going to be tummy if it's made out of either wool or linen. Okay, that's where we're at regarding Rava. So far, so good? I know, it's a tough. I'm aware. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Af Kol La'asuye Tzitzis. Okay, I told you that a lot of today's daf surrounds Rabbi Yishmael, the statement of Rabbi Yishmael. Right? Again, take a look back. Look back on Chavav Amid Beis. I'm rereading the Brisa one more time. It is four lines from the top of the Amud. And this Tana Deberev Rabbi Yishmael, by the way, gets a lot of playtime in Shas. It's played again in Yevamos. It's played again in Menachos. You get to hear this again and again. I'm rereading. Tana Deberev Rabbi Yishmael, Mahi. I'm sorry, Tana Deberev Rabbi Yishmael. Ho'ov v'nemer begadim b'Torah stam. The Torah describes begad, meaning just simply clothing. Upar l'chakas b'achad mehem. Now, one place the Torah goes out of its way to specify wool or linen, which is by Negayim. So, ma'la halam tzemer upishtim, af kol tzemer upishtim. So, just like over there, it's wool linen, af kol. Listen to those words carefully. Af kol tzemer upishtim. So, to all other places, it's tzemer upishtim. So, what's the af kol? So now the Gemara is going to offer a different suggestion. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, we're now on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Av Kol Asuye Tzitzis. Do you know what the Av Kol is coming to tell me? Tzitzis. Now, we know there's a mitzvah of the Torah of, if you're wearing a four-corner garment, so you need to put tzitzis on the four-corner garment. In fact, we just spoke about it in yesterday's daf. Remember the Talmidim? The Talmidim weren't wearing their tzitzis? Okay. So the, good. So now we're saying that this halacha of Af Kol, of Tana Deberev Rabbi Yishmael, is specific to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, basically, what it's saying is as follows. If you're wearing a wool garment, or if you're wearing a linen garment, so then there's an obligation to put on tzitzis. If you're wearing a garment made out of any other material, let's say cotton, so then there's no obligation to put on tzitzis. Good? That's Tana Deberev Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says to this, the Gemara response is tzitzis bejik siv. What do you mean? We go back to Parshas Kisetze. Lo sabas shatnet semer upishtim uksiv gedilim tasalach. What do you mean? We have smichas parshios. We have two psukim back to back. One pasuk says don't put on, don't wear shatnez, which is wool and linen. Torah specifies wool and linen, and then the Torah says, and oh by the way, wear your tzitzis. Gedilim tasalach. Make a garment made out of presumably the same materials we just talked about, either wool or linen, and oh, by the way, it could be both. For tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis can override the issur of shatnez. And then what you could do with that, or not what you can do with that, what you're then supposed to do with that is once you have your garment, your four-corner garment made out of either wool or linen, then put tzitzis on that garment. So what do I need? I need a limud of Rabbi Yishmael. If I read my psukim in Parshas Kisetze, I arrive at that conclusion. So the Gemara says, no, Kasaka dacham amina kederava. I might have thought that we go like Rava. Derava rami ksiv. Now the Gemara says that according to Rava, the following is the case. Hakanaf min kanaf. As Rashi points out, right, this is the third paragraph of Shema. The Torah describes the tzitzis and it says that you put it on the kanaf, on the corner of your garment. Now the hakanaf is mentioned twice in that parsha. Al kanfei v'gdehem hakanaf pesil techeles. So why is it mentioned it twice? Hakanaf min kanaf, meaning that whatever the garment is made out of, so make the tzitzis out of the same material. Uksiv tzemer upishtim yachdav haketzad tzemer upishtim pochan bein beminan bein shelo beminan sharminim beminan pochan shelo beminan in pochan. According to Rava, here's the conclusion. If I'm wearing a garment made out of either wool or linen, so then I can put on whatever tzitzis I want, meaning wool or linen, and it doesn't have to be a match. If, however, I make a cotton garment, and oh, by the way, Wool tzitzis or linen tzitzis, let's say wool tzitzis, right? Our strings are made out of wool. Wool tzitzis can be applied to anything, any garment. But if the garment that I'm choosing to wear is cotton, so then what do the tzitzis have to be made out of? Tzitzis have to be made out of either wool and linen or cotton. But if I'm wearing a cotton garment and I now want to slap on my cotton garment, I want to put on silk tzitzis, so that you can't do. That is the drasha of Rava. Comes out that according to Rava, the mitzvah of tzitzis is not limited to wool and linen. The mitzvah of tzitzis is limited to any garment. The only thing according to Rava is that you just simply have to match the tzitzis to the actual garment itself.
Or use wool
and linen. Correct. Sakadacha kederava kamash malan. So look, I might have thought that we subscribe to the position of Rava. What Tandabe Ravi Shmali is saying is, no, we don't subscribe to the position of Rava, which means that only wool and linen garments is chayv and tzitzis. Okay, now, just for a moment, I'll discuss a little bit of halacha, because we are really out there today. Meaning we are discussing today, tumas begadim, tumas negayim on a baguette. So we are really out there today. Not that often you get questions of, does this have tzaras? Does this not have tzaras? Is this susceptible to tzaras? But now, for a couple of minutes, we get to talk about tzitzis. So now, let's just discuss halacha for just a quick moment. We have in the Gemara right now, basically, two opinions. In terms of which materials is obligated in tzitzis. According to Tanya Rabbi Rav Yishmael, as understood by Rav Nachman Yitzchak, only wool and linen garments are obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So that means, get ready for this, that if you're wearing a cotton garment or cotton tzitzis, or cotton baget, I should say, it's not obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis.
Even if it is for wool, right?
Now, Ben made a very clear qualification, and he's correct, min haTorah. In other words, mid rabbanan, the rabbis instruct us to wear tzitzis, but mid araisa, it's not obligated in tzitzis. According to Rava, any garment is obligated in tzitzis. It just happens to be that if the garment is not made out of wool or linen, if it's made out of cotton, so then you have to be careful about what tzitzis you wear. It's either the tzitzis themselves are either going to be made out of wool and linen, because wool and linen is a, how do we say this in the world, a blood donation? Right, it's a universal donor. Or the tzitzis are going to match the baget. The baget's cotton, the tzitzis have to be cotton as well. Good. So how do we follow on this? Meaning, which one is a halacha follow like? So it's interesting. It depends if you are Ashkenaz or if you're Sfard. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tana de Beis Rabbi Shmuel. The Shulchan Aruch says that wool and linen are chayiv and tzitzis min haTorah. All other materials are not chayiv and tzitzis min haTorah. Now again, Ben's qualification is correct. Meaning it's still chayiv midrabanan. So if you wear a cotton garment, so you're going to put tzitzis on it midrabanan, but you have not fulfilled the mitzvah min haTorah. The Ramah paskins like Rava, and so therefore, according to Ramah, so any garment is going to be obligated in tzitzis min haTorah. So comes out a little bit strange, and I know I also live in Florida together with you, but in the hot weather, thank God we have a good week this week. Mm-hmm. So in the hot weather, so now if you're Ashkenaz, so you can comfortably wear your cotton tzitzis because you know that the Ramah falls like Rava, which means that all garments are chayv and tzitzis min haTorah. But if you follow like the Shulchan Aruch, so that's going to be, you're going to uncomfortably wear your cotton tzitzis. I say uncomfortably, meaning that in terms of comfort, you'll be great, but in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah, you're only going to fulfill the mitzvah on a derabbanan level, not on a deraisa level. And oh, by the way, and Stug, I'm sure, could speak to this. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should try it. He speaks to the Ashkenazi community. You should try to wear a wool and linen garment, not linen. Leave linen out of the discussion. You should try to wear a wool garment in order to fulfill the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So,
how does Rava get to challenge as an Amora?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've had that question in my pocket for years. I don't have a good answer for that. Okay, let's finish. Rava is an Amora, so, and Rava is arguing with Tanya Rabbi Rav Yishmael. So, you know, how can he do that? So back to the Gemara at hand. Could come mashalan. Amar Rav Acha berei de Rav Rav Ash letan de berei Rav Yishmael Maishna leinyan tuma de mar bishar begadim de chsiv al beged hachanami leima le rabba shar begadim. What did I skip? No, I'm good.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let me just do that again. Amr vacha brei de Rava le Rav Ashi le Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael Maishna le'in Toma de Mar Bishar Begadim. Now, according to Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael, we included other Begadim, Dichtiv al Begin. Ha'achanami le'ma le Rav Bishar Begadim mi'asher techaseba. I don't understand. Meaning, according to Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael, now, he's referring over here to Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael part two, meaning the second one. So it includes other begadim. So why don't we say the same thing is true regarding tzitzis? So the Gemara says asher techaseba. Ha'u last week suma. No, the Gemara says no. Asher techaseba means that it's excluding the clothing worn by a suma by a blind person. Who does it? Detanya risa maso pralech sus laila. The pasuk says risa maso. You have to see your tzitzis, which means that any garment worn at night is not obligated in the mitzvah tzitzis. Now I already told you just the other day. I'll reiterate. There's a debate amongst the Rishonim what that means, ksus laila. Is it referring to your clothing that simply is worn at night, or is it referring to your pajamas, meaning clothing that's specific towards the night? You know, subject to a debate. But anyway, ata omer prat l'ksus laila, ina la prat l'ksus summa, kshu omer asher techaseba, harik ksus summa amur, hamein emekayim urisim, asar prat l'ksus laila. Okay. Omar ra'iz l'rab asuma l'hotzi ksus laila. Now, a blind person's obligated tzitzis. At night, you're exempt from tzitzis. What's the difference? The Gemara says, I'll tell you, because even though he can't see his tzitzis, but everyone else can, but at night, everybody's blind, meaning nobody could see. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we say it's coming to include other begadim? Well, the Gemara says, well, that just doesn't make sense because the Torah goes out of its way to specify tzemer upishtim. So presumably it's only referencing to tzemer upishtim and no other garments. So therefore the mitzvah tzitzis, according to Tana de Bei Rav Yishmael, is only limited to tzemer upishtim. Good. Finishing up. Amar Abaye. So now, once again, we go back to the Abayi stringing everyone together. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, v'sumchus amru davar echad. So now what I'd like to do is I'd like to string the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar going back to the beginning of today's daf, together with Simchas. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had amaran. Now Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we learned his opinion already. Remember what he said? That kol yotzei min ha'etz, anything that comes out of a tree, is not going to be subject to Tumas Begadim, except for linen. Sumchas, the Tanya Sumchas, Amr Sicha, Betevi, Psula, Minimesha, Matame, Benegayim. That if I take Tevi is spun linen, I cannot use that for my Tzchach because it's subject to Tumas Negayim. Remember, by Tzchach, there are only two basic rules. It has to grow out of the ground, and it cannot be susceptible to Tumah. Once I take the linen and I spin it, so then it's susceptible to Tumas Negayim. So, Kamanki Aitana, Detana Shasi Ve'er Matam of Negayim. Miyad, Divir Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaShasi Misha Yishle Ve'er of Miyad. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to the Shasi, that's the vertical, the up down, so that's Misha Yishle. You hang it down. I don't know enough about the looming process, so I don't exactly know what that means. The erev miyad, but when it comes to erev, that's immediate. The ha'onin shel pishtan mishi yislabnu. Now, when it comes to linen, clumps of linen, so from the time that it's white, it's now susceptible to tumas negayim, and so therefore you cannot use it for your schach. So in other words, again, it's the same basic idea that Sumchas and Rabbi Shimon Elazar say that because linen is susceptible to Tumas Negayim, even at its early stage of processing, therefore you cannot use it for Tzchach.
Is there a difference between Sumchas?
He likes linking them together. That's all. They're just simple.
Same thing. There's no subtle difference between them, right?
Correct. According to Abaye. Okay, Ad Kan, we stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the new Mishnah. Again, the learning that we do this morning should be for Refuah Shlema for Kobe Yechiel Ben Chanasara and Binyamin Zev HaKohen Ben Sharon Rivka.